And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about parts of Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. That's our radio. Then there's a whole ton of y'all that are live streaming the show every single day on places like X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And there's even a ton more of y'all that do it by podcast and catch it after the fact. All I do when I say those things is make sure you know that we can see where it is you're catching the show. We know the numbers, and it means the world to us. So thank you very much for being a part of the fabric of our lives. We appreciate you. All right, so listen, we're going to jump right into a phone call. So my next segment that I'm about to do is a series of what I like to call home fries, where I take care of business and news, things that are in and around and amongst us right here in the listening areas. So that being said, one of the things that I strive to do on this show is give you a chance to hear the voices of the people who are running for offices that affect us locally. And it's not just the people that are running in D.C. You got to know who's in your state. Well, one of those candidates who has proven herself, certainly worthy of the cause is Caroline Dobson. She is an attorney by trade. She is a former congressional candidate. She is now running to be the Secretary of State for the great state of Alabama, and she's on the phone right now. Caroline Dobson, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm especially doing great knowing that you're going to be one of our U.S. attorneys. Congratulations. That's fantastic, Dave.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That news broke yesterday, but I appreciate that, Caroline. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, Secretary of State, you wrote an op-ed. I pulled my copy of it off of Yellowhammer. I know it was published in several outlets yesterday. But you got some thoughts on not just election integrity, but election integrity enforcement. Give me the scoop on that.
That's right. We do have some good laws in this state. We have paper ballots. We have physical manifestation of every single vote, a trail. We have voter ID when you go to vote. But just having good laws is not in and of itself enough, is not enough to deter criminals. You know, I mean, how many times have you seen a posted no shoplifting in a store? If you're not enforcing that, you're basically incentivizing people to cheat. And so what we need, what I've called on the legislature to create, is an election integrity division. Florida has a similar concept, an election crimes unit is what they call it. But a group of dedicated experts, folks that have cybersecurity backgrounds, who have election integrity law backgrounds, to really build these cases. As you can imagine, our law enforcement, we've got some of the finest law enforcement there is, but a lot of them are operating on shoestring budgets. They don't have the manpower they need. So when they get a call about alleged election fraud, but they're also dealing with human trafficking and drugs and assault and theft. They don't have the bandwidth and they may not have the expertise. Election fraud is probably not something they deal with on a day-to-day basis. So having a branch within the Office of Secretary of State that is dedicated to enforcement is truly essential to ensure the integrity of our elections and to also build the trust. President Trump is building trust, creating transparency with our federal government. We Alabamians deserve the same when it comes to our elections and our economy.
Well, I don't dispute any of that, and I agree with you. I think that, I've seen some crazy examples. I remember back in 2010 when I first got elected to the state Senate, I think in that same election cycle, there was a local election in, I think it was Uniontown or Union City, Alabama, where 110% of the voter population turned out. 110%. You're like, okay, something's wrong. They're pulling right out of the graveyard to vote now, I guess. But, okay, so I get it. Election Security Division. Go ahead.
No, but I mean, I think that's the issue in Alabama. You know, just because in 2020 all of our electoral votes went to President Trump, that doesn't mean that we can be complacent about these local races. And I think we've seen, you know, with a slew of municipal races and runoffs just this past fall, we all recognize, or we all should recognize, just how important a city council member is, a local school board member, a county commissioner. These offices are just as important to our future as a state as a member of the U.S. House is when it comes to how our local taxpayer dollars are spent, how how the quality of our kids' education, how our roads and bridges are being maintained. And so I think, you know, to your point, a lot of the fraud that's been perpetuated in Alabama has been on more local level races, but that's holding back the progress of our state, and it's keeping some areas in poverty and subject to corruption when you've kind of got some of these local political machines that do somehow manage to engineer 110% voter turnout. I was so grateful to have really an army of volunteers who volunteered to ensure that there was election integrity in the second congressional district race. One of my law firm colleagues sat in a particular county in the probate judge's office at the absentee ballot count, and he flagged 43 absentee ballots that were either fraudulent, incomplete, incurable. But these were ballots that the probate judge was gonna pass through, and 43 votes didn't make the difference in my race, but it absolutely could have.
Well,
when you're talking about a close county commission race.
Let me tell you, I actually, as an attorney, I actually was the attorney for a woman who lost a city council race by one vote. But in the course of reviewing things before the vote was certified, we identified 11 provisional ballots that we felt should have been counted. They were all provisional, meaning something was wrong at the polls. But these 11, we believe, should have been counted. We went to court and we proved our case on 9 of them. In other words, there were 9 votes that weren't being counted that should have been. The only problem was when we opened them, she still lost by one vote. But so I like to say we won the case and lost the race at the same time. But still, but the fact that we proved that 9 of them should have been counted, I thought that was significant with a one vote margin.
Absolutely. No, and again, it's not, I mean, of course, we want election integrity when it comes to statewide races and presidential races, but we cannot ignore races in rural parts of the state, like where I'm from, municipal races. And so having this election integrity division will streamline the investigation and follow-up on these claims and allow our law enforcement to better prosecute cheaters and actually let people know that we do have these good laws and we are going to enforce them. So they better not cheat.
Let me ask you something. So like right now, it's already there's precedent. I mean, we already have things like the home builders, which is, you know, quasi-governmental. They have their own investigative staff and they can go and do a code enforcement. But are you talking about somebody having actual arrest authority, or are you talking about just having a knowledge base and an investigative authority that then they coordinate with the AG's office after that? How are you anticipating this working out?
Yes, investigative authority.
Okay.
So being able to kind of determine whether a claim is legitimate, whether there is a legal basis for pursuing action and helping build the case so that, again, we can then work with local law enforcement, work with the attorney general, depending on the jurisdiction of the particular claim and kind of where that falls.
Well, I can see that being a thing, and I don't even know the answer to this. Maybe you do. I don't know, but what do other states do? Do you have any idea whether other states already have investigative divisions in their Secretary of State's office or not?
So Florida does. Florida has an election crimes unit that was put in place in 2022.
Yeah.
So that's relatively new, but that's something that calling on the legislature to create that, I would think we should definitely emulate that. And we've seen Florida also, you know, I remember I was in eighth grade, Bush v. Gore, Kathleen Harris,
oh, yeah,
who's a hero of mine, Florida Secretary of State. But Florida has you know, definitely been the scrutiny of a lot of election integrity battles. And as opposed to kind of inevitably turning blue, they've implemented election integrity strategies. And now you see Florida, you know, is one of the most consistently red states, despite the fact that they've got a huge population. And so I think it's incredibly important, especially as we see growth in Alabama. We see folks moving to Alabama from other places to Huntsville, to Baldwin County, that we have secure elections. We have elections that we can trust. Because it's, you know, when we can trust our elections, people are more likely to be engaged, to want to be involved.
That's right.
And to work with our government and understand that our leaders fully appreciate the fact that their authority comes from the people, from the voters in Alabama.
No, I totally agree. And I'll throw one more piece out there, too. I think in the wake of the mass illegal immigration wave that we saw over the last few years, we have to have all the measures in place we can to protect the election system, because there's going to be any number of people in the nation who shouldn't be voting, and we have to make sure that states are on their toes and engaging that process, just in terms of the millions of people who don't have the right to vote, some of whom may try.
Absolutely. No, amen. I could not agree more. And that's why I also encourage our legislature to close loopholes when it comes to registration. Great that we have photo ID when you go to vote, but we need to do more to ensure that ineligible voters don't even end up on our rolls in the first place. We need more proof of citizenship, residency, and identity when you register to vote. As my mom always said, when we would bundle up to go check cows in the winter, she said it's easier to stay warm than it is to get warm. It's easier to keep our voter rolls accurate than it is to get them accurate, and one way we can do that is by closing some of the loopholes when it comes to registration.
Well, that's perfect. And I got to tell you, one more quick story. In the wake of all of our efforts when I was in the legislature to pass photo ID for voting and all that kind of stuff, and hearing all the arguments about how it's going to disenfranchise people, and people saying, oh, there's not enough scandal out there to warrant this kind of thing, I pointed out, I said, the smallest community, a municipality in my district at the time, Senate district, was a little town called Ridgeville, where the mayor won a vote of 19 to 12 to be mayor. And I thought, and I said, and I'm pretty sure even at 19 to 12, they still cared about voter fraud. So it matters at all levels.
Absolutely. That could not, truer words have not been spoken.
Hey, let me ask you this before we go. You've got a 67 county race. So you've already run a pretty really solid, stiff race for Congress. And that was only for part of the state. Now you're running 67 counties. Talk about the campaign real quick. We got about 2 or 3 minutes.
No, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to get to campaign throughout the entire state. And again, to get to spend time in communities large and small. Like I mentioned, I'm from a town of less than 200. So sure, I'm hitting the big cities, but also listening to voters throughout our state, because as you mentioned, there have been election integrity issues and concerns throughout our state. And on the business services side, small businesses are the backbone of our economy. How, as your next Secretary of State, can I make it easier and more affordable to start and grow a small business in this state? So I look forward to the next year of getting to campaign throughout our wonderful state and getting to meet more incredible people.
Well, if folks want to find out more about you, where can they find it? You got a website and all that.
Yes, we do. DobsonForAlabama.com is our website, and then we're on all the social media forms, Dobson for AL.
Okay. All right. Well, Caroline Dobson, candidate for Alabama Secretary of State, thank you so much for your time, and we'll keep up, all right?
Thank you, and congratulations again.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, we're taking a break. We ran a little long, but we'll take that break, come right back. Short segment. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.